Today, we sit down with Rod Rowdy, co-founder of Bitcoin Park, which has become a hub for freedom technology in the United States. We discuss Bitcoin, AI, and the grassroots movement reshaping the future of money. As a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. If you enjoy our content, please remember to like, share, or comment, as this all helps us greatly.
This isn't for everyone. It's for the ones who know the old system is broken and are ready to build something that lasts. Welcome to the Build with Bitcoin podcast.
Today, we have the pleasure of welcoming Rod Rowdy from Bitcoin Park, co-founder. We want to get into that and a lot more with you today, Rod. But first of all, welcome.
I just want to jump in and say, you know, we have had a couple of the other Bitcoin spaces already featured on our podcast, and we've just been remiss because Bitcoin Park is kind of the leader, the mothership of all Bitcoin communities. So it's overdue. And thank you so much for being a part of our podcast, Rod.
No, absolutely. The pleasure is all mine.
Well, let's get to know you a little bit first, Ron. It'd be great to get into your background, where you're from. I know you had quite a few years in tech before getting into Bitcoin. So maybe the backstory of what led you to co-found Bitcoin Park.
Yeah, absolutely. So I worked in New York for a good bit of time. That's where I met my wife. She's from Nashville, Tennessee. Happy wife, happy life. That's how we ended up in Nashville, Tennessee. And we just started having a family here. And fast forward, I had been traveling around. You know, you mentioned that tech career, Israel. I was traveling to New York and San Francisco for my tech job. And then eventually I was like, man, I'm traveling's not going to work out. So I got to figure out something else. And then for some reason, like 2017, 2018, I like finally considered looking at Bitcoin. I like looked at it like in 2011, 2013, 2014, but I was like, this is so stupid. Magic internet money. Give me a break. You could easily just copy and paste it like as a, you know, and save it to your downloads folder, right, guys? Like, get out of here. And I thought I was so cocky and arrogant. It is like just exactly who I was back then. And but then finally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to really learn about this because I started buying a little bit of Bitcoin and the price just had gone straight up, basically. And so then I started traveling to meetups. I started flying to New York for their meetups. And then I was going to SF BitDevs from time to time. And I was like, wow. The coolest people building are at these meetups. And I was just like mesmerized by it. And I was like, I got to figure out how to work in this space. And so got a couple jobs in the space. And then, you know, in Tennessee during COVID, I was like, seriously, no more travel. And having one kid, I think two kids at the time, I was like, all right, how do I bring all my awesome Bitcoin friends that I've been able to meet to continue this? And we started a meetup, and that grew from like 10, 20 folks. And I think it was August of 21, if I get my dates right, to fast forward to a month later, we had 100 or so people. I think Stefan Lavera, Andrew Yang, and I want to say maybe Odell came down for that one as well. I know Matt just started coming like almost every month, eventually moved, to Nashville. And same with Harry as well, Harry Sudock, and a few others as well. But it was just unbelievable. Like the timing, the vibe, everything was just like perfect. And, fast forward, long story long, we needed our own dedicated space. And we went way above our skis and we got Bitcoin Park here in Nashville, Tennessee.
And that is such a beautiful space, too. I've enjoyed being there several times. And I don't know if you know this, but Bitcoin Park was kind of the motivation. It was like the North Star for creating the Casa de Satoshi in Mexico City, which is my Bitcoin community. But tell us a little bit about that, because it's a historic house. It has a legacy to it. How is the space structured there? And how'd you come to find that particular property, which I think is just the uniqueness of it makes it special also.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And by the way, I love these other spaces that are popping up in the U.S. as well as the world. Like they all have their own flavor, their own taste, and their own profile as it relates to the local culture, which is just so Cool. As it relates to Nashville and Bitcoin Park Nashville, it used to be a recording studio for a band called Florida Georgia Line. And it just so happened, I was talking to my friend who's a commercial broker, and I was like, look, maybe in 1, 2, 3 years from now, we can eventually get like our own dedicated space. I just want to put this on your radar. We're going to need like a coffee bar area. We're going to need some co-working. We're going to need a podcast studio so my friends can record their podcasts. And we'll need like a little bit of an event space because we host meetups and maybe some summits and so on. And he was like, hey, I know I don't sell you anything really, but like, I think I got this spot that's off market and this band, Florida Georgia Line, is breaking up and they are going to let it go. And so we came and looked at it and, you know, Lynn, thanks for coming. And Israel, you got to come visit if you haven't already. And it's super cool. 2 4-square houses, really in the heart of Hillsborough Village, walkable to Vanderbilt University as well as Belmont University. So we host a lot of the college students as well. And a lot of the faculty for both universities have come by as well. And yeah, it's like got sound treatment. It's got a beautiful coffee bar. It's got a beautiful space where we can host like whether it's 10-person meetups to 100, 200-person kind of meetup experiences. It's been really cool.
And to put some color on that, Rod, I mean, can you, I don't know if you have these numbers, you know, top of mind, but what metrics can you share as far as the success that Bitcoin Park has had for those who maybe aren't as familiar with it? I mean, events, you know, participants, who you're attracting there.
I'm just trying to see if I got any. So I don't really track like a number of meetups and so on. Like, you know, we just host so many. I'm not going to share it on the screen, but I get so many handwritten notes mailed to me. It's unbelievable, actually. And I know we're doing a good job when the letters are more frequent and based on a meetup or a summit experience that we've created. And I'm like, all right, we got like 5 letters or 10 letters handwritten again, sent to us. And I know we're onto something there when someone takes the time to actually write a handwritten thank you note. Because look, we have 8 Bitcoin Park core principles, and one of our mantras associated with the principle is that everyone is a VIP at Bitcoin Park. We have 1 ticket price for when we have tickets. We have 1 membership rate, like, and the list goes on. There's no like tiered system or like, hey, this group is over here and this group's over there. And so I think people appreciate that when they come to Bitcoin Park and the hospitality that we want to show, because at the end of the day, our mission is to support and accelerate the grassroots freedom tech movement. How we do that is by creating physical and digital spaces for mission-obsessed Bitcoiners, builders, and freedom fighters to work, learn, collaborate, and build. And that kind of common denominator of freedom is like a gravitational force that brings so many amazing people together. And it's honestly an honor and a privilege and a responsibility to make it the best experience that they have all year. Because there's so many conferences and events and, you know, this thing or that thing, which is actually a net positive. I know some people talk about it as a net negative, that, oh, there's a conference overload and so on. I'm like, you know, competition's a great thing. So like, you can always learn something, or you can see like, that is absolutely sucks compared to this one. So you know, you can choose your time wisely.
Jim Rod, for our audience that may not make that automatic association between Bitcoin and freedom tech, can you elaborate a little bit more on what is freedom tech and how it intersects with Bitcoin, or what is the thread that pulls those elements together?
Totally. So the way I look at kind of freedom tech is basically, what do you own? You know, there's the saying in Bitcoin, not your keys, not your coins, right? Do you custody your own Bitcoin? And I'm pretty hardcore in Bitcoin, but I'm not so hardcore where I'm like, only self-custody is the way to go. For example, I'm a small business owner. I have a family. I have other ways. I actually custody in all 3 avenues, from full custody to multi-sig to self-custody. But I have the freedom to choose and the freedom of my money to use it how I see fit. Going on the AI side, I think we're in the same realm of that AI world. Like, and I'm working on this right now, but it's like, not your memory, not your brain, right? And so when we're using the AI tools right now, you may log into ChatGPT or Anthropic's Claude Code or, you know, whatever, and you're just giving them your intelligence and you're getting something out, right? That is an output that you think is good. But eventually, I think on the freedom tech side is you're going to want to own your own intelligence. So you're going to want to build more sovereign infrastructure here as well. So at the end of the day, I'll just say is like the freedom tech is the tools that you as an individual can have ownership over.
And as far as the companies that you guys have working out of Bitcoin Park right now, Rod, what's that, what's that makeup? And are they all focused on Bitcoin or are some focused on just a pure AI play that you're touching on? Yeah, what are you seeing?
Well, the lines are getting blurred, that's for sure. But most members are Bitcoiners. A lot of them are working on Bitcoin projects. Like, for example, we have Steve Myers, who's an amazing guy. He runs our Nash Bit Devs with Matthew Ramsden, as well as Rob Hamilton here in Nashville. And he contributes to the Bitcoin Dev Kit project. So they do a number of things, but Steve's here. You got to mention Rob Hamilton, the CEO and co-founder of AnchorWatch. That's an unbelievable company that's doing a number of great things on the institutional side, mainly, as well as the high net worth individual side on insured custody. And then there's other people that have actually just started businesses or were one-man shops and now have grown considerably, which is, these stories are just so fun to talk about. So I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant. Joe Wood at Satoshi Pachioli flew up from Florida and was like, all right, you know, I'm a one-man band. I'm going to start Satoshi Pachioli, this accounting services practice. Fast forward, I want to say he's been here now 2-3 years, and I think his team is now up to like 7 or 10 people now. And it's unbelievable, like what the business that he's grown and the quality of his business as well in terms of needing accounting services related to Bitcoin and obviously the fiat world. Joe Angelo, the founder of Guardrail Mining, as well as S3 Protect, came here from the Nashville Energy and Mining Summit in 2023 and basically made a one-way ticket to Nashville and said, I'm going to be here. No like real job or company, started both companies and now has hired, I don't know how many people, and is just doing wonders in the mining space as well as the sovereign protection, like I forget what the term is, but like individual protection, as you see fit. They actually provide security at a lot of all of our summits as well. I can keep riffing on the number of people and companies, but it's just like that's probably going to be the cool thing when I look back on this project. I hope, you know, decades from now, I'm actually preparing a presentation for Bitcoin Takeover, the summit we're hosting during South by Southwest, which Israel, I hope to see you there. It's like 5 years down. We're going to celebrate our 5-year anniversary on June 1st, 2026. And it's 5 decades to go because I mentioned before, the 8 Bitcoin Park core principles. Number 8 is durability. And so we want to get 1% better every single day. And so that we're building for decades from now and not just chasing the shiny object right now or short-term revenue right now, but what are the durable things that we can be building? Like the 10 companies that are company supporters, it's taken 5 years just to figure out those 10 companies right now. And I'm super honored, from 1031 to HRF to Choya to Foundry to CleanSpark to Unchained, to Satoshi Pachioli, to BitKey and Proto and Fetty. It's just amazing to see their teams and their support for the park. Sorry for that rant, but I, if you want me to talk about like awesome companies building in the space, like this is why I think, you know, there's still needs to be a lot of work to be done in Bitcoin. Do not get me wrong, especially as much of the time I've spent in my terminal coding and doing all this stuff. I'm like, we got to build in Bitcoin. Come on, guys, let's go. Way still above my pay grade, but there's a lot of work to be done. But there's just still so much cool stuff that we have built in this space. And that's where I think the very small area that I can help possibly is to help amplify those stories and provide a platform in a very highly curated way. And we have another mantra within that, the 8 principles is called locally produced, globally distributed. So we want to highly curate that local. You mentioned the Casa de Satoshi, you know, like that curation. And I think you guys have an awesome event coming up in May. And they're like getting people to your place, showing your culture, showing your local Bitcoin community. There's something magical about that. and then helping take that magic and figuring it out and distributing that globally so that it inspires. I think, Lynn, you mentioned at the beginning, it's like, oh, you Bitcoin Park was a little bit of an inspiration for Casa de Satoshi. Well, what's the next one when Casa de Satoshi inspires, like, you know, XYZs, you know, in their spaces and their communities? And so that's what my long-winded way of saying this is, you know, I am definitely short these DATs and all this other like top-down kind of like hyper-Bitcoinization, hyperbole in terms of like Bitcoin adoption, because I do think the magic happens at the grassroots level. And then going back to that eighth Bitcoin Park principle, durability, if we're thinking in 1% better every single day and you get that one meetup person, or you get that, help that one business get their one first customer, or you get my, I just got a haircut today, use Bitcoin again at my barbershop, you know, having them just get that muscle memory of accepting Bitcoin through the Square app. Very bullish on the future. That's for sure.
Lynn and I are partners at Baselayer Advisors, where we use our network of venture capital partners and startup founders to connect investors with unique opportunities within the Bitcoin innovation space. Alongside this, we help startup founders with their growth and fundraising. Visit our website's advisory section to learn more.
Well, it sounds like you're almost at capacity. I mean, I don't know. I'd like to know what your capacity is. How many startups can you accommodate in Bitcoin Park? Do you have, I mean, what happens when somebody goes from a single person startup to a team of 10 or 12, do they end up moving out? Is there an energy where each of the startups support one another? Do you do formal programs to help mentor the startups?
I'll tell you an awesome success story. Chris Alfano with 360 Energy. So we have Bitcoin Park Austin. So formerly the Bitcoin Commons. A team, I don't know how many people started, but they outgrew the space. I think they were members of the Commons for 2 or 3 years. And they're like, hey, we need, it's like a sad day, but also an exciting day that they had to move out of the space and get their own dedicated office. And I was like, heck yeah. And they're still supporting the park. They've sponsored now a membership for a FOSS developer, educator, or community organizer to work from either Nashville or Austin, which is so cool to see. It's, you know, there's no, like, how do I say it? When you become a member, it's, you know, it's an annual upfront due. You're invited to become a member, and there's no like, hey, here are all the benefits. Use zero or use all of them. It's up to you, the individual, to take advantage of this and utilize the space as well as the community. The community is unbelievable, and that's just on the membership side. What's very interesting about the park business model, which I do believe we're creating a new category. And I got to come up with a better term than community as a service, but it's 80% or so roughly of what we do is free and open to the public, and is free. And so there's no real monetization there other than like use pay. And we want them to use Bitcoin, not for us to make money, like, you know, on snacks and whatever. It's just for people to use Bitcoin and show them how to use the tool. And then 20%. You know, we have these invite-only highly curated summits across Lightning, Energy and Mining, and then our Convergence Summit, Imagine If, Custody and Treasury, Grassroots Bitcoin, and the list goes on. But from there, like, we've built a pretty cool, durable, small business of, like, awesome members, some people that are coming to our ticketed events, and then this amazing group of people that are just supporting us with their time and energy by coming in and participating in our meetups. So to answer your question, we don't have any real structure to say, hey, this is how you're going to find mentorship or so on. I mean, you know, 1031 from day zero has been a company member, so that's been unbelievable. So I think they've seen awesome growth of all like what's happening here. And I think it's just folks that are wanting to be more involved in the Bitcoin and freedom tech community naturally just present themselves. And I will say one last thing. It's like, you know, we get a lot of inbound interest. And right now, yes, it is full in terms of capacity for membership. But my first question is like, cool, when was the last time you came to visit a Bitcoin park? And if the answer is no, I'm like, hey, all good. Here's our schedule. We would love to host you for one of our meetups because you have to come and experience it yourself before you can even make this decision, because it's just, It's pretty special.
Yeah, and I mean, you guys have clearly landed on some sort of formula there with what you've done at Bitcoin Park, Rod, because it's been very symbolic in the Bitcoin tech and freedom tech movement. You guys, you know, we got into that a little bit. You guys were pioneers, and I think a lot of people maybe kind of scratched their heads in the beginning, like Nashville. Yeah. You know, like you typically associate, you know, big tech hubs in other cities, you know, San Fran, New York, whatever it may be. And you guys have done a very good job, not only on the investor, you know, kind of bringing together investors and entrepreneurs, but also even policymakers. Can you touch on maybe what has made Nashville like this unexpected hub for this new technology, and what, you know, what has been your experience with some of these policymaker interactions?
Happy to. I think we are super lucky and blessed by the folks that we have right now in the specific functions. But let me back up and say, at first we had like a zero politician policy at Bitcoin Park. And it was just like, didn't make any sense. Like, why would these politicians come to Bitcoin Park? We were the enemies back in the day. Like, when we were starting this, I was like, are they going to come and like handcuff me and take me away just for running a meetup? Like, I don't know. But so it was basically no. And then the elections were happening and all these politicians wanted to come and talk and so on. So we just had like a hard no policy. But I'll tell one story, which is Senator Hagerty and his team wanted to meet. And at first I was just like, buddy, there's a meetup schedule. You can come to our meetups and so on. And then they actually, well, somebody else connected us. We had like a lunch meeting and so on. And I said, hey, you should come to our meetups and so on. And then their team did. And then they started coming up to more and more of the meetups and they saw the community and they're like, this is like serious. Like, and all the make and model of the people were just totally different. There's not, you know, I guess I'm wearing a hoodie right now, which I don't typically wear, but like, it's not like hoodies and shadowy supercoders. It's like, you know, there was high school students that took two bus rides. There was college students. There was grandparents in the audience. There was so many more people from all walks of life that were just coming to our meetups because they wanted to learn about Bitcoin. And I think that resonated quite a bit. And then the team over there were like, hey, let's just do a private roundtable so the senator can learn more about what's happening. And I was like, all right, let's do that. And, you know, texted a few friends like, hey, can you guys come around? We're going to meet here and so on. And we did. Senator Hagerty is a super smart guy. Like, if you have a chance to meet with him, you should totally meet with him. Very sharp guy, gets it. And we've been having a great relationship for like 2-3 years now. And he comes to the park whenever he's got some downtime and he's in the neighborhood and is hanging out with us Bitcoiners, like wearing, you know, his dad jeans and New Balances, which is just hilarious to me. Like Senator Blackburn just also comes through the park. And these are not like photo ops or, you know, press stops or anything. I mean, and please feel free to ask around to like the Bitcoin Veterans Group, to all these other groups that I was just like, hey, you should just pop in for this meetup, for example. And when they can, and they have very busy schedules, they have. And it's been so cool to see. Like Governor Lee has been to the park multiple times and his team. So Commissioner McCorder, who's a deputy governor now, and who leads all of the economic development for the state of Tennessee, and their CIO, Nathan Buttrey. They're constantly over here with a number of folks. So, and believe it or not, even their attorney general, General Scrimeti, has also been to the park a number of times. So it's like kind of weird that all these guys have been to the park, but it's more in a collaborative form versus, you know, hey, let me just put this as like the marquee thing to try to drive ticket sales or drive awareness, if you will. We like, so for Bitcoin Park, just to back up, we have, you know, five general guidelines that I say at all of our meetups and summits. One, we talk about Bitcoin, the capital B, the monetary network, and lowercase b, the Bitcoin, the reserve asset. What we don't talk about is crypto, altcoins, NFTs, LFTs, DATs now, and all this other stuff. Not to poo-poo on that, but there's another meetup for you, you know, elsewhere. And then I joke about you know, let's keep all side conversations to zero while the presentations are happening. I say, don't park in the church parking lot right next to us because you'll get towed. I say, please pick up after yourself. And the last one I'll say is, you know, actually, we have a no photos and no social media policy. So there's not really like much photos or much social media like about the park. It's all what I love about it is all word of mouth. And it's that feeling that all these different people just start talking amongst themselves. And that's like really resonates with me.
Rod, how many do you have a regular schedule of meetups? Like you have BitDevs and a educational one, or what does that look like? I love that visual of the grandparents and the high school kids all being in there. And I think the basic education to know that there's a space in Nashville to come for that. But do you have a regular kind of, can you give an overview of what sort of events you have on a regular or special basis?
Totally. So, I mentioned before, Steve Matthew and Rob Hamilton run our Nash BitDev. So that's like, if you're not familiar with the BitDevs, it's more of a technical Bitcoin meetup. And I want to say that's the second Tuesday of every month. But if you go to bitcoinpark.com/schedule, you can see all of our meetups and summits across Nashville and Austin. So we do that. One of the other cool ones we have is Park 101 and Park 102. So more of an educational, like learn about Bitcoin, hosted by two of our fantastic members. On occasion, we'll do a Lit Devs hosted by Ben Hindman. And then there's other pop-up meetups that we're doing. And by the way, this is both in Nashville and in Austin. So in Austin, there's a Bit Devs. There's a social one called Austin Bitcoin Club. And then actually Sahil runs a Austin Design ADBC. So Austin Bitcoin Design Club, ABDC. And which is super cool. And then to give you a little sneak peek of what's to come, which I'm super excited about, I mentioned coding quite a bit now and building some really fun stuff for our membership, as well as hopefully the community, the global community. We are going to go pretty hardcore into AI and actually introduce our own dedicated like kind of space and concept within Bitcoin Park focused on AI. And it's like building AI on your own terms. So I mentioned that kind of range from like full custodial AI all the way to that sovereign infrastructure, you know, having your own memory, having your own brain, hosting it yourself. And so we're basically going to, I'm personally going to be leading the charge on this and creating awesome meetup experiences. We're hosting hackathons and also summits. So for example, in January, we soft launched the AI Hack for Freedom with the Human Rights Foundation, where we gathered 8 freedom fighters and paired them with 24 amazing developers. And for 48 hours, let them go ham. And the prize pool was 1 Bitcoin. And it was, I mean, so cool to see them work together. And so Alex Gladstein, who's an absolute amazing person I don't know if you guys have had him on your podcast. You should totally have him. We left it and we're like kind of a little bit speechless to say like this, there's something here. And so now we're actually creating AI Hack for Freedom 2, which is going to be May 9th and 10th in Nashville. And then AI Hack for Freedom 3 is going to be in DC, September 24th and 25th. I don't know if those dates are public yet, but there you go. You get the sneak peek at that good stuff. But I think there's just so much more in this space. Like, for example, Amjad at Replit. He's a Bitcoiner building awesome in the AI space. There could be some really cool collaborations to build like a Replit-focused hackathon for 24 hours. And maybe there's something we could tie into Bitcoin there, or maybe even not, or just like build and understand what is out there. And so we have this amazing space. We have this amazing community. What's a natural extension of that is on the AI side. And not in the cheesy AI side, it's like actually in the freedom tech side. So, you know, I mentioned before the 5 years down, 5 decades to go. We have this experience called Imagine If, which is a summit of summits at the convergence of Bitcoin, AI, and energy. And I could see where each of these communities, you know, the Bitcoin community, the AI community, and the energy community all converge in these park locations. And we're creating experiences within that world. And they all roll into Imagine If. And I'm so bullish on all this stuff that it gives me so much energy just hosting these meetups. And people are like, man, that sounds super tiring. But at least for me, like even jamming with you guys and talking this out loud, like I get energy from other people and hearing their stories and helping them and seeing ways we can collaborate. It just, it's a force multiplier.
Yeah, I love it. And I mean, Lynn and I definitely share that conviction on those, on the kind of intersection of those interesting technologies and industries. You know, maybe taking a step back, Rod. So you're talking a lot about, and you guys clearly have a lot going on, and it's all surrounding freedom, privacy, sovereignty. You know, maybe what's the why for you? Like, why is this such an important and purpose-filled focus for your career? I mean, it's a pretty big shift that you did, right, in your life. And, you know, to some people might get it. To some, it might be obvious. To others, it's still kind of lost between the greater crypto confusion and just everything we have going on in the world. So, yeah, what's the why for you?
So, So I mentioned the mission, which is to support and accelerate the grassroots freedom tech movement. I mentioned the how of how we get there, which is to create in physical and digital spaces for mission-obsessed Bitcoiners, builders, and freedom fighters to work, learn, collaborate, and build. The why? My kids, 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 kids. So if you think in like super long decades, it's like, what are all the technology that's like, I mean, it is insane what we're witnessing right now in terms of super intelligence and freedom money, and we're going to have abundant energy. Like, what is the world going to look like? And if we could simplify that into these base protocols, like we got to get those right big time and understand the importance of individual and freedom and the freedom of choice in that regard. To answer your question directly, it's that my kids, 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 kids. Well, like, why did I do this? Well, first I was like, holy smokes. They're like, and by the way, backing up on that 2017, 2018 thing, I had opened up a Coinbase account like in 2013 or something. Or maybe it was 2014, but I didn't do anything with it. And they gave you like $10 worth of Bitcoin at the time. And when I re-logged in, it was like $500 or $600. And I'm like, holy smokes, there's, wow. And then it shot up. So I was like, yeah, let's figure this out. But now, like, it's such a, you guys know this, it's such a, one of the most amazing rabbit holes. And I don't know where else I would spend my time. And when I kind of mentor younger folks now, because I'm much older now, is I look at three pillars to any like kind of job or career or mission or stools to a bar stool. One is making money. Can you make money at this? Okay. Second one is, are you learning something new? Like, and is this like refreshing that you're like learning and challenging yourself in that regard? And the third one is, are you having fun? And those three are super important, and they're never balanced in the right way. You may be over-indexed on making a boatload of money, but it's taking you away from your family and you're not having as much fun and you're learning some, but you know, it's not the knowledge is not compounding for you. Or you could be like working in Bitcoin and you're having a ton of fun, learning quite a bit, but making no money, you know? So there's that resentment factor after like a couple years where you're like, oh man, what was I doing for that long a period of time? For me personally, now after 5 years, I think those pillars are like starting to take more shape and become much sturdier. And I couldn't even imagine working on anything else. And I'll say this on the AI side, it's definitely revitalized and re-energized me even more so. I definitely wasn't burned out on Bitcoin. I still loved it. I love it and loved it quite a bit. But it's definitely given me a new appreciation for this focus.
Yeah, I'd like to kind of go deeper into the intersection of Bitcoin and AI, because I think from the outside, many people talk about, like, if you're only looking in terms of the stock market, and it makes us crazy that sometimes people look at the Bitcoin price as like a stock price. But, you know, is AI taking investment funds away from Bitcoin? Is AI, energy needs taking it away from the mining section? But what is it that excites you? What are you seeing about this intersection of AI and Bitcoin and how they'll work together and how they complement one another? And what is it that's getting you so excited about this?
There's two things, but I'll start on the one thing on the mining side, and then I'll talk the second, which is on the business side. the mining side is really interesting to me. It's actually the large scale. Everyone was poo-pooing the large scale miners, or they're taking over the hash rate, they're centralizing Bitcoin mining, blah, blah. And at the end of the day, I'm like, beautiful competition. There's a huge opportunity to go and disrupt this area and so on. Potentially down the road. I don't see it right now, but like, there's got to be some opportunity. And then lo and behold, these AI HPC data center folks are coming in saying, hey, we'll be your anchor tenant and we'll pay you 15 years of cash flow for, and why will you want to go to the casino that is Bitcoin and do that Bitcoin miner? And they're like, yep, we'll absolutely do that. So we've seen a transfer of hash rate and compute over to the AI HPC side. So what does that mean? Well, all of these off-grid or smaller teams of mining, on-grid mining operators are just like, holy smokes, we have a huge opportunity now to take advantage of this, which is really cool because now you're seeing much more decentralization or potentially decentralization, which can lead to other solutions in the mining landscape. So in terms of mining pools and also on the hardware and the infrastructure associated with building out on the mining side. So I'm very bullish on that. And I co-founded the 256 Foundation with Econo Alchemist. And our mission was to dismantle the proprietary Bitcoin mining empire. And now after like, I think it's two coming up on 3 years, we are, knock on wood, on track for that. And now I've passed the baton to Tyler Stevens and Scott over at BitAxe to continue to work with Eco and lead that charge. So that's on like the mining side. I think there's amazing things for Bitcoin. And then on the building side, well, do you guys run OpenClaw and run any of these agents yet and so on? Or do you guys...
I'm playing with it, but I get nervous about connecting it to, you know, I'm very cautious of AI and its capabilities. I have a big belief and I just don't, I want to make sure I've got safety rails in before I open it up to everything.
Yeah. Israel,
I haven't. I've done plenty in cloud, but the open cloud stuff, I mean, I haven't messed with it yet.
So by the way, we just hosted the OpenClaw meetup here in Nashville, as well as the BitDev's version called Artificial Intelligence. So we're experimenting with these different communities and learning from them. What I think is an amazing opportunity as a Bitcoiner and a builder in the space is kind of that ethos and DNA of the building blocks to say, guys, like, for example, somebody brought up, and we have Chatham House rules at all of our meetups. So it's not like we can talk about it, but not identify the person. Somebody was like, well, you guys say don't trust, verify. Oh, we trust and don't verify, just YOLO and download and let it rip. And I'm like, buddy, good luck, you know, have at it. And, you know, it's just a different mindset. And this is where I'm keeping a very open mind to the broader AI community, because I want to learn as much as possible from everybody and how they're using these tools and what the use cases are and so on. But I think the Bitcoiner principles, like not your keys, not your coins, like all these little things are going to transfer so well into the AI world. And then they're going to ask the questions like, Lynn, you're like, ah, you know, I'm nervous about all these things, so I'm a little gun shy right now. Or, you know, Israel, you're like, hey, I'm in Claude Code and I understand the trade-offs and I'm solving these things. I need to architect and be thoughtful about my next moves into these other world. Maybe I'll get a Mac Mini, I'll provision like, you know, my its own Gmail, and I'll get it like isolated as much as possible. I just need to find the time to do that, and then I'll solve it with one or two cases. And then you got awesome Bitcoiners like Callie, who built Claw AI. I want to say is a term for the VPS for your agentic. So that's one I would recommend for you guys to try out just in the short term. And Callie's just a beast. But there's so much more cool stuff. So like, I feel like we have an unfair advantage by knowing our network of kind of this web of trust, which we should talk about as well. And knowing, oh, wow, you're Callie, for example, you're building in the AI space and you built, you know, Cashew and all these other amazing things, like BitChat and so on. Man, my confidence in a role in you building the right tools in AI is way higher than Joe Schmo over here that's building whatever, you know, on OpenClaw, and I'm downloading his skills, you know, .md file. And then all of a sudden I have like a million viruses on my, you know, computer. So I do think in general, though, it's worth the experimentation, because as a small business owner, it is all, in my opinion, It's all about the systems and the people that you have and continuing to stress test them such that you can get the max efficiency out there to provide the max value to your customer or your membership base. And that's what I strive to do. And honestly, this next wave on the agentic workflow as it relates to internal systems are going to be absolutely insane.
Yeah, it's moving at a quick pace, and it is an interesting, I mean, an important topic. Of course, it's interesting, but it's an important topic to kind of hone in on some of these Bitcoin principles that you mentioned. And we actually had recently a conversation with Maple AI, and you know, we were talking about this, you know, privacy preserving and sovereign AI angle and the importance of that. And you know, we just recently, you talked about OpenClaw, and I think they just last week, I think it was, right, were acquired by OpenAI. And so you have these things moving at lightning speed, and yeah, it's important for people to just be careful, because you know, you are giving a lot to these tools, agents. Yeah. And
but yeah, I think this is like one thing is just to like, now in Bitcoin, we know it's like, wait, why am I putting my primary email into this app? Like, let me just take a step back and ask myself why and what's the outcome here. It's a weird thing. Like you bring up a really good point, Israel. It's like you should be careful, but it also shouldn't paralyze you from actually doing the work. You know, that's where I'm a little bit nervous for some of my Bitcoin friends and then the broader community, because there was some crazy stat where it was like 17% of people, and I'm butchering the stat and I don't even know what the source is. So just fact check me or call me out on Twitter that I'm wrong. But 17% of people believe that AI is a net positive for them in society. I'm like, what the heck? What rock are you living under? I mean, I have now at my fingertips the ability to be that much better, smarter, more efficient than I've ever been before. And my creative list of ideas and dreams and so on, now I'm like, oh my God, they can become a reality. Like the probability of that becoming a reality is just, you know, up to me. And that's why I fundamentally believe we're in the proof of work generation. This is going to be the generation. Forget about your age. I don't care if you're 80 years old or you're 10 years old. We're in the proof of work generation, where if you can believe it and you have the grit and the tenacity and the consistency to just do it, the tooling is out there for you. Whether it's the free AI, you know, tools just to start out with, and then to earn some sats and earn some money to then use the other tools. And then honestly, like you mentioned, the Maple AI side, like there's just so many awesome tools that people are building that we're truly just scratching the surface. And that's like one other story. I know I'm bouncing around, but you mentioned the policymakers. I had met with the, it was the Attorney General's office. It was their directors, like one below the Attorney General. We were talking about, they were trying to propose something, and they were curious my opinion on it. And we were talking about it, and they're like, oh, this will attract a lot of Silicon Valley companies here to Nashville. And isn't that great? And I'm like, that's not my per se. I don't want, like, you know, this to be Silicon Valley 2.0, which was kind of like what we were talking about. I'd rather this be Sovereign Valley, and we build our own identity based on culture and community that's already established here in Nashville and Tennessee. And I think it really resonated with them as well. And kind of we have this internal joke amongst the park members, as well as a number of other folks, that we want to build Sovereign Valley.
Yeah, actually, Israel and I are, one of our missions is to kind of remake VC in a way that's outside of, you know, and instead of thinking about you have to give up X percent of your company for this, and then the investor has a goal of selling you to, you know, another bigger company, that may not be the objective of the founder. So how can we rethink startup investing in a way that uses a combination of like convertible securities or paying back in Bitcoin or doing other creative financial, variations to give the founder growth capital, but not to give up the control. So, I agree that we don't want to remake Silicon Valley. And that kind of brings me to my next question, which is this combination of Austin and Nashville. So, Commons had a great, had a great reputation and great ethos. And then I think the synergy between Park or having Park in the two locations, but Austin and Nashville have kind of that similar, you know, vibe of being really creative and non-traditional and independent thinking. So how are you balancing the events between the two? Do you find there's a lot of synergy, or is there, how are you thinking about the combination? Because you're really in the first year of this, of having the two spaces, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so much learning. I mean, from both sides. One of the big things, especially as we will most likely expand outside even of two spaces, but we're going to, again, go that eighth principle of durability to make sure it's the right move. Each local community has its own unique culture, membership, vibe, and so on. And we want to honor that, support that, and grow that. While it's kind of like, you know, you're implementing the general guidelines that make a Bitcoin Park experience, regardless of location, that's special. So like those five general guidelines. And honestly, Parker, who's one of my closest friends in Bitcoin, he and I are like mission aligned. So it was a very easy kind of call between both of us because we knew exactly what we both wanted as the outcome of what the park should be. And so that's key. But also then just being like, you know, we're doing the takeover again, which was, you know, Parker's baby. This is going to be the fifth year of Bitcoin takeover. We don't have an event like that or an experience like that in Nashville, which is pretty cool. And so then it's like, all right, all these different experiences. Like for me, I like to think through and ideate and sketch these things out. So if you come to any of our summits, 9 out of 10 times I'm sitting front row of our summits, and I'm there for both days front row, and be like, wow, isn't there a better use of your time to, you're the one that's hosting the event, you know, experience and so on. Why are you just sitting front row? It's because I truly want to hear from these people. Like it's real talk. Bitcoin Park is probably the most selfish thing I'll ever do in my life. Why is it so selfish? It's because I get to curate the most amazing people that I think are in the Bitcoin and Freedom Tech space, invite them to speak on topics that I truly think are cool and I care about. And then we all get to share in that knowledge. And I'm like, wow, this was super awesome. And all I had to do was organize the food and all this other stuff and organize this. And with my team, who's just phenomenal, I'll do that 100 times a year, no problem. And that's from meetups, hackathons now and summits. So I do actually pretty much minimum once a month, if not a few times now, I'll do a daily direct down to Austin. So I'll take the 6 a.m. or the 5:30 a.m. I wake up pretty early, so it's not a big deal. And then I land and I'm pretty much, I'm sometimes at the park, Austin, like by 7:30, 8 a.m., probably typically 8:39. And then I work a full day there, meet with a bunch of people and so on. And then if I'm not attending a meetup or if I don't have a family obligation in Nashville, I'll stay the night. But most times I'll just take the 5 or 6 p.m. flight back and I'm in bed by 8:30. I'll miss bedtime, which is a bummer. But if my kids are good, which they typically are. So that's how I personally balance it. And then on top of that, as you guys know, in the VC world, investing in companies and founders, it's all about the people. And I got to give massive shout outs to two specific people, Andrew Davis, who's our community operations lead in Nashville, and Jack Lesser, who's our community operations lead in Austin. Without those two, none of these experiences and none of these like member experiences would be able to happen the way they are happening right now. So I'm super thankful for them. They're just mission obsessed as well. And so I think like, especially on the agentic stuff that we're building out, and especially with all the stuff that's just happening, I think 2026 is going to be a pretty, pretty special year.
Yeah. And to that point, Rod, I mean, you kind of touched on this earlier, but these two technologies are extremely promising, very exciting, which I mean, Lynn and I do see a lot of this intersection as well with, you know, a lot of the founders that we speak to on the podcast. And I agree with what you were mentioning earlier, that AI is just an unbelievable opportunity because it the tooling is now there. And I think it's going to just spark a massive wave of entrepreneurship and creativity. And then you have this parallel technology on the side that gives you optionality for preserving your economic prosperity, and having Bitcoin allows you to preserve that, you know, that value and be able to move around the world if you need, and you can kind of defend that monetary, you know, energy, to put it that way, as it's often referred to. So it's extremely exciting. And you mentioned earlier, so this point of getting your hands dirty with these technologies. So I'm guessing that might be your answer. But what I really want to ask is, what would you say to some people who are just starting to get curious, who maybe are looking into, you know, joining a startup or doing an entrepreneurial, you know, leap themselves, but are still a little bit hesitant? I mean, what would be your advice there?
So on the entrepreneurial side, I wouldn't say, hey, like, because it gets exciting and you're like, oh, I just need to quit my job and do full-time AI so I can learn all this stuff. I don't think I would recommend that. I would recommend, you know, being super disciplined about looking at doing a calendar audit and saying, where are you really spending your time? Okay, what time do you typically wake up? 6, 7 o'clock? Okay, let's say it's 7 o'clock. Can you wake up at 6 and add an extra hour to yourself, you know, in the morning? Are you a morning person or an evening person? You know, let's just assume you're a morning person. That's one extra hour that you can do discipline-wise, just study and build and create things. Okay. You just got an hour back in your time. You go to the work, you know, workout, whatever. You're home at 4 or 5 o'clock. Oh, you watch TV to unwind. Delete that and just be like, all right, now I need to read or build something within that hour window. Or a 2-hour window or something. There's life's all about trade-offs. And so you got to make these like intentional choices. And then on the entrepreneurial side, I always say, like, go get your first customer and see what happens. Cause it's unbelievable when they're like, oh my God, I just gave you $20 for that app. And you're like, then you get kind of pissed off when you're like, wait, the processing fees were like, you know, $3. What the heck? I should have asked them to pay me in Bitcoin. And then that's when you become a Bitcoiner for sure. But we'll take that as a tangent on the side. But then all of a sudden you're like, wow, let me see if I can get my second customer. Oh, my first customer churned. Why did they churn? And then all of a sudden you just get, like, they talk about the entrepreneurial bug. That's the entrepreneurial bug, is like when you see, you have your first customer, you get your second customer, you get the get some money coming in, and then you can't even imagine life. It's like the analog world was the W-2 world, and then now you've touched this digital world, which is this new world. And you're right, Israel. I honestly think, and it was honestly one of my concerns, that we were going more towards this W-2, working for Big Co and so on, and the entrepreneurial spirit was kind of crushed through a lot of taxation, a lot of capital, like all this formation stuff. Now, you can just build things and just do things, which is just so freaking cool.
When you're talking to startups and the founders, do you put them together, or how do you have synergies between them, or what you see one is very strong with one aspect, or encourage use of AI tools, some of these new things that you're exploring? Do the teams in your space kind of get into that as well?
Not necessarily. It's honestly, here's the thing, Lynn. All this stuff is happening so dang fast. It's seriously not even funny. Like, I think I've went from the Max ChatGPT subscription, rip them out, to Claude Code, and I'm probably going to rip. Then I'm using Minimax 2.5 right now. But I'm using the subscription hosted model there. And then I'm probably going to use Kimi 2.5 when I got all these other things that I'm like trying to build and work on and experiment with, that it's happening so fast that all I can say is, having this space where you can physically get together in these shared, like we have an area where all the we can work as an area, a common area here in Nashville, and also the main area in Austin is a big common area. And just the amount of learning of just like people doing when they're doing the deep work, and also popping up for air for lunches and so on. That's where, like, you know, the Casa de Satoshi spaces and these other spaces are going to be so valuable. It's like, oh, you just kind of show up and you see what happens. Harry nailed it when he was like, what's cool and special about the park is these spontaneous collisions that just happen. You know, they're not manufactured, but I got so much going on. I'm four kids. I coach like three of their sports teams. I got Bitcoin Park here, Bitcoin Park in Austin. I got more things, more opportunities. I'm very thankful for them. But one of the things I don't have the time for is like manufacturing relationships and all this other stuff. I'm like, it's up to you. I've curated hopefully a great group of people that will then naturally form really cool bonds and relationships.
One of the things too that you guys do so well is, you have the on the ground teams that are working, but you also bring in the big perspectives. And I'm referring in particular to your, you know, I guess it's a friendship, professional relationship with Kathy Wood and ARK Invest, and her, you know, her annual Big Ideas report is something that I read religiously. And so from, cool. You know, when you take that big perspective about what's coming the next 5-10 years and her numbers on Bitcoin appreciation, I think when she drills it down, make a ton of sense. But how did that relationship come to be, and how do you balance big ideas from the practicality of what you do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, Kathy's awesome. Her, Dr. Laffer, I mean, they're just awesome people. The big ideas, honestly, her big idea is the one that like, she put it as a seed in my head when she's like, Rod, there's a huge convergence happening. And she mentioned Bitcoin, AI, energy, but also was on the robotics side and all these other areas. And she's a super big thinker. And I was like, man, you're right. Like, what are the three areas I care about? Bitcoin, AI, and energy. I'm going to like really lean into that. But yeah, like that's a great question and a great kind of segue. I think I'd have like a Bitcoin podcast with Kathy for now coming up on a little over 2 years, a monthly Bitcoin podcast. Heck no. I was like, who am I? But it's like a friend who was working over there was like, hey, we really like and want to support the park. How can we help? You know, I think it would be great for their audience to hear about, you know, the Bitcoin ethos and the Freedom Tech ethos, what you guys are doing at the Bitcoin, in the Bitcoin space. They had their crypto brainstorm, and they have these other brainstorms or like monthly podcasts from their different ARK analysts. And they're like, Rod, we'll give you full rein, create and curate the show, and we'll call it the Bitcoin Brainstorm. And I'm like, whoa, Kathy's got like a million followers on, you know, Twitter, and they got like hundreds of thousands of people on their mailing list. I'm like, this is a big responsibility and honor. And of course, I'm like getting all my crazy Bitcoin friends from like, you know, Rockstar Dev to Odell to, you know, Preston Pish to, I had Luke on, I had like all the people. And Kathy, you know, honestly, like the first bit, I was like, and I didn't really know her at the time. So I was like, oh, she'll show up for the first one. And then be like, oh, this was cool. Like, you know, maybe I'll come on the fourth or the anniversary, the annual one. Literally every single episode she's been on, she has not missed one episode. And it's been unbelievable. And she showed up to every single episode. Like if you watch those episodes, she's super curious and engaging. She's, it's pretty special. So, and then they were, you know, a big reason why we did Imagine If, and in partnership with ARK Invest. And I'm just very thankful for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, congrats on all that, Rod, because that's a pretty special thing you got going with ARK Invest. And, you know, Kathy's definitely one of the most recognized big thinkers out there.
And that's a thing, by the way, sorry to cut you off, Israel. Like I joke with her. I'm like, why did we become friends in like, I think it was 2024 or whatever? Why couldn't I be friends with you in 2013 when you guys published the paper, you know, like why we were buying Bitcoin? I'm like, why? Why couldn't I just be friends with you then? You know, when on my wedding day, Bitcoin price was $75. I have this stupid ice cream maker that cost me like $300 still in my garage that's unopened. I'm like, that's 3.5 Bitcoin. That was just like what could have been. And that's why I think a lot of people, you know, are big Kathy fans, because she's been ahead. And, you know, like being a big ideas person, you're going to have some misses too. So it's like, and she's in the arena all the time. But I'm like, man, at that point in time, it would have been really cool to be friends. I'm super thankful to continue to have that podcast with her. And I'm not the podcaster. Matt's the podcaster, by the way, out of the two of us.
No, it's but just, I mean, keep at it, because these are just such fascinating topics. And I mean, coincidence or not, Lynn and I are putting together Meet a Tech Talks, and the intersection we're focusing on is precisely Bitcoin, AI, and energy. Because and we're kind of prefacing that with the future of capital, because that's how we see it. I mean, that you touched on it earlier, and it's well discussed out there. You know, you have people like Elon Musk and all sorts of people and incredible thinkers out there telling you there's going to be abundant energy. You have proof of work, energy backed money now that's available to literally all 8 billion people around the globe. You have AI, to your earlier points, that allow you to do what previously teams of 20, 40, or 50 people would do. You can do it on on your own at home setup or at office setup. So it really is just like the cusp of a lot of unknowns. A lot of it is, maybe there are some challenges. Yes, there are some things to be weary and scared of, perhaps, but mostly, exciting. So, I mean, it's amazing everything you guys are working on, Rod. So, just congrats, and also thanks for sharing with the audience, because you guys got something special going over there.
No, yeah. Man, thank you guys for having me on this podcast. This was so much fun just like articulating, getting this out. It's fun just to, because I don't do this much. So it's just fun to share the stories. And hopefully I'll see you in Austin as well, Israel.
And I have one more question before we let you go. Rod, I mean, you talk about being a dad and how that's so important to you, and it's so much a part of who, obviously who you are. But as a dad with young kids, how do you think about this, the future with AI, and what are you telling your kids, or how are you guiding them in this world? I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have that question, and we'd love to hear your perspective on it.
Totally. So I'm pretty OCD. Like, I always had like a clean house, and like I always make my bed, and I still do make my bed, but like, those like little things. And honestly, in this new age of AI, where everyone's just going to have intelligence, I know it's cliche, but it's going to be all about taste and creativity. And then you just get the tools to build what you dream of. So, man, I have my kids just like art projects galore. We have now like one of our closets is all markers and even glitter. It's like driving me bananas. So for those dads who may be a little bit OCD, I think letting go a little bit and letting the kids be as creative and messy as possible, I think I hope. What do I know? Like I'm literally making it up as I go along too. So don't get me wrong, but that's one. And then, believe it or not, I'm not like so anti screens to the point where they can't, like, you don't have devices, but I'm not like zero screen time. So we do like the Khan Academy apps and some of these other ones as a treat for them to like learn math and all this other stuff. To make it playful and fun. And I think it's an easy slope to get super nervous about where it's going and then be stressed out about, are they learning fast enough? Are they doing this? Are they picking this up fast enough? I'm just letting it, like, take the wheel. Like, the kids are going to be all right. I truly believe all kids are born geniuses, and the human and kid ingenuity is just unbelievable. We just don't know where this world is going. But the more they can be creative, and honestly, like, and then I'll close on, like, what are the core foundational principles? Like, English and math are probably like the core. So like, can you construct a sentence? And do you know that? Like, let's keep it super basic here and see where we go.
Well, love it. I think that's a good place to kind of wrap things up. But Rod, I mean, before we, say bye to you, where can people find you, at events or on social media? Where can they learn more about Bitcoin Park and any other, initiatives that you touched on?
Yeah, bitcoinpark.com. You can go check that site. It's pretty, honestly, like our email, our daily email, Op Daily, I'm very proud of. You get 4 bytes of, Lynn, you're a subscriber. Cool. Thank you. Thank you. So you go to bitcoinpark.com/email. For me, I want to do less on Twitter. And there's just like, again, a lot of great signal, but also a lot of great noise. Well, I'm like, well, how do we distill four bites that I can quickly, and it's delivered at 4:30 in the morning, because that's what time I wake up. So I'm like, all right, I quickly read that. What's going on? Great. And then I start my day. So, and there's going to be some enhancements we're going to make that I'm super excited. So that's the main area. And then honestly, like bitcoinpark.com/schedule. I don't even think it's on the main site, the link. So I would just check that out and join any of our free and open meetups in Austin, Nashville, or maybe another location.
Love it. Well, thanks again for the time, Rod, and see you soon in Austin.
Awesome. Thank you. You guys, this was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Build with Bitcoin. If you found it of value, please take a second to like, subscribe, or share. This helps the visibility and reach of our podcast so that more people are aware of the innovation happening in and around Bitcoin. It truly means a lot. I'd also like to take this opportunity to invite you to join us at an event that Israel and I are hosting, Meet to Tech Talks 2026, taking place from October 25th to the 27th at the exclusive Punta Mita Resort in Mexico. This will be an intimate gathering of 125 invite-only participants exploring how the future of capital is being shaped by the intersection of Bitcoin, artificial intelligence, and energy. To request an invite or for more information, visit mitatechtalks.com. We hope you'll join us. And thanks again for being a part of the Build with Bitcoin community.